Chapter 14, Purvarag, or Preliminary Attraction. Gopinam Paramananda Asid Govinda Darshane Kshanam Yuga Statam Iva Yasham Yena Vinabhavat. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.19.16 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.133. Translation. The Braja Gopis would enjoy supreme bliss from receiving the darshan of Sri Govinda, but they would consider even one moment of his absence to be like 100 yugas. Krishna and the Sakas had taken the cows out to graze in the Munjaranya forest when a fire started, and like a chariot driver, the wind carried that fire until it surrounded the boys and cows on all sides. Then the Sakas called out, "Krishna, Baladev, save us!" Seeing that they were threatened, Krishna said, "Just close your eyes." And he opened his mouth and consumed the fierce fire. Then he told them that they could open their eyes. If they had witnessed his swallowing the great fire, they would have been terrified. But the Sakas saw that everything was just as it was before, and that the cows were calmly resting under the bandira tree. They thought, "How is it that we are here? Everything was just burning. Was that just a dream, or was it real?" Then they all began blissfully taking their lunch together. In the same way, when by the cultivation of Bhagavad Bhajan and the mercy of Guru and Bhagavan, we become free from the burning suffering of the material energy, we will think, "Was it just a dream, or was it real?" Upon the eradication of that pain, which had been tormenting us since time immemorial, we will think, "Where has it gone?" as if in the snap of a finger. Was it real? We really won't be able to remember. After this, Krishna led the cows back to Braj, and the gopis were thirsty for his darshan. And that is the time being described in this verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. When he came before them, their anand increased. Although they had not yet established a relationship with him, through either seeing him or hearing about him, they were very attracted to him. And this is called Purvarag. It can exist in both the Vishay, the supreme object of love, Krishna, and the Ashraya, or the supreme receptacle of love, the gopis. To feel this Purvarag in the stage of sadhana is not easy. The Purvarag, which has been described in the writings of Vidyapati, Chandidas, and in Gopi Geet, and other places in the Bhagavatam, cannot be attained by an ordinary sadhak. Only when one has attained Swarup Siddhi, meaning when in the stage of Bhav one attains perception of his eternal Swarup, will such restlessness for the sight of Krishna be felt? Only a very few devotees, like Bilva Mangala, had felt these kind of sentiments in the self-same lifetime. But Shanam Yuga Satam Iva, feeling a moment of Krishna's absence to be like millenniums, what is the nature of this sentiment? Although here it is Purvarag, it can also be Mahabhav, as in this verse, Yugayitam nimishena chakshu pravrisitayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Sri Shikshastikam 7. O Sakhi, in separation from Govinda, even 1 second seems like millenniums. Tears are flowing from my eyes like clouds showering torrents of rain, and the entire world appears empty. This is also Mahabhav. It is not an ordinary sentiment. Chandidas has written, Sai keva sunaile shyam nam kanera bitare diya maraima prasila go akula karila mora prana. Although outwardly it is on the order of Nanda and Yashoda that Krishna joins the other boys to take the cows out to graze for the day, he knows this is the dharma of those in his class. It is actually with immense bhav that he joins his friends. He has just passed his Boganda age and is entering his Kishora age. Krishna is speaking with Subal and some other cowherd boy, and the Sakis are conversing amongst themselves. Sai is a very simple and sweet word for Saki. They say, Sai, why have we been made to hear the name Shyam? Entering through our ears, it has touched the core of our hearts and confounded our very lives. At once the gopis became perplexed in the eagerness to attain Krishna. And this is the very purpose of hearing the scriptures. By hearing the glories of our worshipable deity through the medium of our ears, our hearts should become so attracted to him that day and night we will do nothing besides meditate on his sweetness. The gopis have not just come to the end of sadhana by attaining Swarup Siddhi, but they are actually manifestations of the Hladini Shakti. This meditation is not possible for ordinary people, but as men who work in an oil factory will certainly develop a coating of oil on their hands. Similarly, when a sadhak hears and speaks about these topics, his hands become coated, meaning that a little bhav will arise in him, by which his life will become successful. Our spiritual sentiments should be so deep that we won't be able to forget them even for a moment. But regrettably, we have become accustomed to generally doing exactly the opposite. We hear these topics, but it seems as if immediately afterwards, remembrance of material enjoyment consumes us. We are taking Harinam, studying shlokas, and giving scriptural readings, but where are our minds? Just as when we place an empty pot in a river, it immediately fills up with water. Immediately after hearing some of this Bhagavad Katha, our minds will again become filled with thoughts of the sense enjoyment which we have been experiencing since time immemorial. We must try to keep the mind free from these thoughts, even though it may not always remain steady. We should go to wherever Hari Katha is being spoken and completely fill our minds with it, leaving no room for thoughts of sense enjoyment. Indeed, there is nothing more favorable for us than hearing Hari Katha, and it should be as our food. We should have love for Hari Katha, and if not, then we should at least consider it our duty to hear it, understanding that it will bestow upon us our ultimate good fortune. Those whose hearts have been thoroughly purified, who never think of sense enjoyment, when they hear Katha, such sentiments which touch the very core of their hearts arise, and they remain absorbed in those sentiments day and night. In another place, Chandidas writes that the young Kishori daughter of Maharaj Brishabhanu sits alone, completely perplexed, not speaking to anyone, and one of her elders says to her, "My child, what are you doing? Why are you sitting there like that? Come over here and do this task." But she doesn't listen. She is unable to comprehend what has happened inside her. Her eyes are open, which is a symptom of consciousness, but she isn't looking at anything. She saw Shyam one time, but he left, and now she just remains silent and motionless. She has no desire to eat, and she is wearing red cloth. Why? To help her forget his bodily complexion, so that she won't become more dazed and her condition won't then be detected by her elders. With a hairband, she has tied white flowers into her hair so that its dark shade will not remind her of Shyam. But since he has already captured the core of her heart, how can she possibly prevent remembrance of him from coming? Then she began gazing at a cloud, which possessed the same complexion as Shyam. Sometimes she enters the house, and sometimes she comes back out. She takes long breaths, and her mind is not steady on anything. Then an elder says to her, "Why did you go there? What was the necessity? Beware, don't ever look in the direction of that boy again. Don't focus your mind on him for even one moment, or you won't be able to perform your household duties. You are not listening to me, so you have now lost the fear of your elders as well? Has some ghost or demigod possessed you?" Not aware of anything, she falls down, and when they lift her up and place her somewhere else, she falls down again. Because she has lost her fear of her elders, they even abandon the idea of finding a husband for her. But Chandidas says, "Yes, I understand. She is not mad, not possessed, nothing of the sort, but she has simply fallen into the trap of that black snake Shyam. This is Purvarag." But how can a sadhak experience this? Generally, our minds are full of unlimited varieties of material desires. But when none of these desires remain, meaning when one obtains the company of an exalted guru and receives the unconditional mercy of Bhagavan, then some shadow of Bhav will come. By chanting the extraordinarily beautiful Shyam Nam and the Hare Krishna mantra, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Narad all went mad with ecstasy. So tell me then, how much Bhav must be contained within it? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also has written so many lines that are saturated with Bhav, like Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Pravesha Nidra Chari Uta Jiva. This refers to meditating on the pastimes which Krishna performs at the end of the night, while ordinary jivas remain sleeping. And in the same song, Phula Shara Joja Kar Karma, Sri Krishna utilizes flowered arrows to increase the gopi's desire. Until one has understood well the conception delineated in the Ujjvala Nilamani, he won't understand this line. Or if the calm Gayatri reveals itself to someone, then that person will understand something of its meaning. But without the mercy of the calm Gayatri, it cannot be understood. The Bhav of a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava